This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to PTBN's NBA Team Podcast as we hit the month of July. I'm your co-host, Andrew Reich. I'm joined by Adam Murray. How you doing?
That was a very disappointing draft, wasn't it?
What draft are you talking about?
The NBA draft, for all the hype and all the, well, everybody's going to get traded and this is the year, everything's going down. Just a big silent turd, wasn't it?
Oh, you mean that one. You know, the NFL draft goes along for like 3 days, and I just never feel like I get there's any kind of accomplishment that comes out of the NFL draft. The NBA draft is kind of more comical because there's more, it's one night, there's always one deal that you can laugh at after the fact, and there's always a couple of real reaches, whereas in the NFL, you don't really know what's a reach because everybody is like valuing their second and third round picks, so everybody's being super careful, and you could almost justify every pick in the NFL, whereas in the NBA, there's always that one or two, like maybe the Knicks did, where you always say to yourself, you know what I'm saying? So I think there's more fun that comes out of it than the other drafts. But this one was a little bit of a letdown in terms of like watchability.
The NFL was terrible because A, it's a cash grab, like you said, because they spread over 3 days, which nobody, that killed it.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun when it was just 2 days, you know, let's hunker down for the Saturday afternoon, but now it's like Thursday and it's just, and then just you have like, oh, well, here's a kid who played 20 downs and had one interception and they show the literally his entire career. It's like, well, he looks good and just you piece together everybody's highlight reel and, well, yeah. What do you have? He had one interception his senior season and they keep replaying that one interception. It's just,
but he was great in the Senior Bowl and he was great in the Combine.
So, oh,
I mean,
you can,
they changed the rules. They changed the rules on the draft combine in the NBA side this year, where they were doing 3-on-3s. There were a couple of names there that will drop throughout the episode that did help themselves in the combine and in the measurements and all the other kind of workouts that they put you through. But overall, really, if the combine was the same way it had been in previous years, then these guys probably would have gone in the same exact order. So, you know, it's not like the combine was like an end-all, be-all for a lot of these prospects. The end-all, be-all really for some of them was the measurements. Like, I think that's why Justice Winslow dropped so far. His measurements did not turn out really well for him. I think that's a big part of it for some reason when it comes to these GMs. They get obsessed over wingspan and standing reach and things like that. You know, the athleticism side of things, you know?
Well, that and also GMs, you can only have so many people in. And, you know, a lot of people probably figured, oh, he's gone. Well, I've interviewed these four guys, so I'm going to choose from these four. I'm content with it. Oh, somebody's sliding down. Well, I didn't really see him, so there must be a reason everybody, you know, a couple people passed on
him. Or as they call it, the Aaron Rodgers effect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, you have people who are too scared to sort of go out of the box sometimes.
Okay, so we're going to, for this one, we're going to be talking about the Eastern Conference. Now, we're not just going to be talking about the draft recap. We're also going to ease you into the free agency period, which begins on July 1st, which will start on Wednesday, I believe midnight of, you know, the night before. They start knocking on doors and making phone calls, and a lot of deals actually get done probably by the time you wake up at 7 in the morning on July 1st, in principle. You know, verbally, you know, you don't sign the deals, I believe, until like 10 days later or maybe a week later. But we're going to kind of preview that for you by each team also, along with the draft picks that they made or the moves that they made in the NBA draft to try to get themselves ready in the offseason. We're going to start with your Boston Celtics. And also, if anybody wants to kind of listen to the recap of what their previous season was, feel free to do so in our Gone Fishing editions of the podcast that you had heard in the month before. We got you all covered there just in case you needed to know that. For Boston, the draft, a little fascinating. I'll let you take this one away since this is your team, but they really just – it was like they were allergic to big men.
No, well, they tried to trade everything. What they're slowly realizing is their assets have no value. Nobody wants Kelly Olynyk. Nobody wants, you know, Phil Presley or James Young. And they offered picks, you know, from the Knicks all the way down to the Charlotte. And report mm-hmm. was Charlotte was 4 first-rounders and 2 second-rounders.
Well, supposedly, Danny Ainge really wanted Justice Winslow when he realized he was sliding.
Yeah. And you offer these picks, and it's just like, well, if you can have assets, but if nobody's buying them, they do you no good. So, you know, hey, you guys like Marcus Smart, right? Well, how would you like a little smaller version of him?
No, that rumor has been shot down, that Marcus was not part of any trades, but no one really knows for sure.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm just saying when they wind up drafting the exact same player,
mm-hmm.
you know, a point guard who can't play point guard but plays good defense.
You're speaking, of course, of Terry Rozier, who went number 16 in the draft. I did a verbal groan when I saw that on television, because I'm not saying that Rozier's a bad player. I just thought it was definitely the biggest reach in the draft. There was only one other one that I thought was really out there, and we'll talk about that one a little later. But that one was a little bit weird. And then R.J. Hunter going number 28, a lot of people see that as a value pick because some people had R.J. Hunter out of Georgia State, the shooting guard, in the lottery. So maybe they kind of balanced it out in the first round where they got a guy that was supposed to go higher, and then they picked a guy, you know, in the sixth at number 16 was supposed to go lower.
Yeah, that was basically it. And then
they could have flip-flopped it almost.
Yeah, and the 33 pick with Mickey, people, that's like their saving pick, which, you know, the Celtics don't get an F because of that reason alone, because he'll actually play.
Here's the problem. We'll talk about the free agency for Boston in a second. But if your idea was to try to shore up your rebounding, and the best idea that you got was drafting Jordan Mickey, who's an undersized 4, then you didn't really do yourself justice. And then with the last pick that they had at number 45, they took Marcus Thornton, another Marcus Thornton, because I think they just had one in Boston not that long ago. And now they got a point guard out of William and Mary, very, very quick one. Kind of like, you remember that guy out of Arkansas, Courtney Fortson? He kind of reminds me of him, you know, very quick, a little stocky, but he's got blazing speed and he can shoot the 3. But I don't know what he can provide, you know, especially now that they have Smart, Rozier, Evan Turner, Isaiah Thomas. I mean, I don't know if he'll ever find any playing time.
He'll be straight to the D-League or straight to Europe.
Yeah, Mickey the same.
No, Mickey will find a roster because they're going to, you know, free agency, Brandon Bass will probably go. Mm-hmm. And he'll just be the cheap Brandon Bass replacement, just, you know, get a few rebounds, get this and that. And, you know, basically what it comes down to is the Celtics, everything hinges upon free agency.
Yes.
They have a ton of cap exceptions. They have the shit ton of picks.
They have 4 first-round picks in 2016 along with 5 second-rounders. They also potentially have multiple first-round picks in 2017 and in 2018. So they have a lot of backlog that they can throw into a deal if they want to do a sign and trade with somebody like, say, a Kevin Love, or even, I mean, just potentially even a guy like a LaMarcus Aldridge. They might be able to pull something off like that.
Oh, yeah. So this is the, you know, because you could try to convince yourself, like, no, we're content with Sullinger and Kelly Olynyk as our starting front court, but nobody's believing you. And, you know, I'm just going to say it now with all the free agents, it's pretty safe to assume, like, you know, Gasol is going to stay. Kevin Love is going to stay. You know, Aldridge is pretty much the only one who's going to be gone, and he's probably going to go to Texas. So you're going to strike out on all the big guys. So it's the second-tier guys, the Tobias Harrises, the Monroes, the
Hibberts. What about trying to make – and you mentioned this about a month or two ago. What about using those draft picks and maybe some of those guards in order to broker a trade with the Pacers to get Roy Hibbert, who just opted into the last year of his deal?
That's what – well, I've been saying. I mean, you know, I try to be – you know, I always try to think outside the box. And I think I was probably the first one to say, like, just use that and – mm-hmm. get a disgruntled player, try, or, you know, get David Lee. What are they going to give you? Nothing but for a year and another expiring contract.
Mm-hmm.
That might be, you know, not a bad thing.
Now, their unrestricted free agents are Brandon Bass, Jonas Jerebko, Vitor Favorani, and I believe Will Bynum is still there, but not for long. I don't know. I don't I don't anticipate Bass being back. I think he might get overpaid by a playoff team. And then your restricted free agents are GG, Dantome, and Jay Crowder. And I think they'll re-sign Jay Crowder.
I don't know. They people are high on him now, so his value has gone up. And if you, let's say they try to go overpay, you know, Greg Monroe, well, what are you going to do if you're going to put, you know, a $4 million hold on, you know, Crowder and all these other picks they have and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they either have to renounce their rights pretty quickly to chase the big names or hold on to Yarebko and Crowder and see how the pieces fall. But basically they have to sort of do something.
Give me an ideal guy for ideal either free agent or acquisition for Boston that they could try to pull it off realistically. Would it be Hibbert?
I say yeah, Hibbert.
Okay.
Hibbert's well, he's no good, he isn't fit, but you know, Brad Stevens seems to make everybody overachieve, so
maybe he'll get it out of Hibbert. I mean, Frank Vogel once upon a time did it, so you know, but he's got to be in a winning situation. Now, Brad Stevens' team definitely turned it up, you know, as the season went along, but can they keep winning is the big question. We're going to move on now to the Brooklyn Nets. They actually got a little busy on draft night, even though they weren't really in a position to do it at first. You know, they had to swap the pick with the Atlanta Hawks because of the Joe Johnson trade, and then they had that second rounder at number 41. But they did pull something off. They made a trade with the Portland Trailblazers so that they got up to the 23 pick. And they got Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, a small forward wing defender type at Arizona. And then with the number 29 pick, they stood pat and they took Chris McCullough out of Syracuse, a big man who's coming off of an ACL surgery. They also brought in Steve Blake from that trade with Portland. The one guy they had to give up was Mason Plumlee, who was like their backup center behind Brook Lopez, who just opted out of his contract. So let's just try to kind of make sense out of this. So what do you see the big picture here with why the Nets made these moves and why Plumlee was moved?
They sort of got their moves to, you know, you had to move Plumlee in order to get Jefferson or Hollis Jefferson or Rondae Jefferson or
Rondae Hollis.
Rondae Hollis. you had to move him. So there was reports like he's the only player that has value on that team. And basically, they just sort of drafted their cheap backups in case they go. I think Brooklyn's the only team who sort of expects Lopez to return. Everyone pretty much thinks he's gone. So,
well, I'm a little surprised he opted out of 16 mil. Like, do you think he can get 16 mil on the market right now?
No, he can't get 16 million.
Then what does he want to do? Play on a playoff team?
But he doesn't want to get in. It's a lot easier. Okay, you have 60 million. You get injured. You're now going to get $5 million. That's it. Or just be like, look, I'm going to opt out now. I'm going to get, you know, 60, 70 million, a little less than before, but I have that long-term security.
Yeah, and the problem is you still got Johnson's contract. You still got Darren Williams' contract, you know, kind of eating up the cap. You know, Bojan Bogdanovic, Jared Jack, they're not as, like, severe to the cap as the other two I just mentioned. They also had an opt-out with Thaddeus Young. We're not sure yet about Alan Anderson. And then your unrestricted free agent, the most important one for them is Mirza Teletovic. So they do have a couple of decisions to make here. Who do you see staying and who do you see going between the three guys I just mentioned?
Well, Thaddeus is gone and Lopez will be gone. So you can keep, you know, Bojan and
Then you have no centers because you traded Mason Plumlee.
Well, you have Christmas, and they have I don't know who else they have for centers. But there's also another intriguing one. Playing on their summer league roster will be Cliff Alexander.
I think Plumlee's move makes me feel like Brook is definitely going to stay, or they already know that he'll sign there. For like money.
That's why I said they think that he will, but I think another team might just be like, you know what, let's.
Yeah, but he only had that one good bounce back year last year. Like, is that going to be enough to, like I said, to get to the $16 million range? Maybe Brook is kind of, maybe the Nets are talking him down and they're saying, look, if you take a little less, maybe $14 million a year over 4 years, maybe we'll be able to make this work for you And then when Joe Johnson's contract is gone, we can, you know, hunt for a big fish.
Yeah, but we don't, you know, but they've been trying to lowball. They've been known to lowball people. And all it takes is just one GM to be like, hey, here's some cash.
Yeah, so they're kind of sort of flirting with disaster. They're not completely, like, they're not blowing anything. They're not doing what Portland's doing. They're not doing potentially what Indiana's doing. They're not blowing things up. They're just kind of treading water.
You're going to go small ball for a while, and then, you know, you could pick up a nice backup center cheap. Mm-hmm. You know, you're losing those, but you could pick up a Jason Smith or, you know, just somebody who's just a warm body till Christmas, not Christmas, McCullough comes back, which he said on November.
He says he's doing okay. He just started running like about a week ago. So he won't be there at Summer League, but he might. There's a possibility that he'll be ready for like in by October, maybe about a month into the regular season. And you might see him work some more. I don't think he's a saving grace like that as a, you know, a late first round pick. But, you know, unless they feel like they can use Lopez's money and find a nice big, like, you know, I mean, like a Tobias Harris, somebody in there who they can get on like maybe $10 million, $12 million instead of having.
Well, they have no money to do anything.
Well, but here's the thing: if Brook Lopez is gone, then maybe you'll be able to get somebody.
No,
because
they're still over the cap to the point where it would just be straight signing trades, which they don't even have anything for that.
Yeah, it also depends on Young, because Young took up $9 million.
Yeah, but he opted out.
Mm-hmm. So that clears you up a little bit to at least make one move. I think they can make one big move, but that's it.
You can make one big move, but the problem is they have too many roster holes to fill that. And just, you know, like who's you know, cheap off season targets? You could get like an Ed Davis.
Or Robin Lopez. Wouldn't it be great if Brook left and Robin came in?
When Robin comes in, just get the other Plubly brother.
Yeah, LaCosta Kufos, Kevin Serafin, somebody like that.
Yeah, they have cheap big men they can get, and you can just sort of run small ball.
Yeah, but we agree that the biggest need there is a big for Brooklyn. I don't think they need a guard. And even though Hollis Jefferson really is a small forward who can't shoot worth a crap, you know, I don't think going after guards is going to be the smartest thing for them at this point.
No, they're pretty set there, and they know it. So, you know, it's they're not, you know, as doom and gloom as they were, you know, people had thought like this time last year. But, you know, there's just little small things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the New York Knicks. They had an awful season, of course. They got the number 4 pick in the lottery when everyone thought that they were tanking to get to number 1 or at least in the top 3 in a 3-player draft, and they wound up on the outside looking in. No move. They couldn't make a move with any assets to try to bump up a spot to get one of those guys like a Karl Towns or a Jahlil Okafor or D'Angelo Russell. So Phil Jackson went with Kristaps Porzingis out of Latvia, the power forward with the jump shot at 7'1". A lot of potential there for sure. They also got a at the number 19 pick, Jerian Grant. Now, they had to make a move there because they had to trade away Tim Hardaway Jr. With Atlanta in order to get that pick
there.
I read somewhere that out of 100 players in his position in the NBA, he was like 98th in defensive rating, so he was pretty awful on defense. You know, he had a decent rookie year, and I still think he's got potential to be a good reserve, but as a starter, he struggled for sure. So moving Hardaway Jr. was not the worst idea.
Well, moving Hardaway Jr. and getting a team, A, you know, not, you know, dumb enough to take him and trade a first-round pick for him.
That was
Atlanta. You know, welcome to the NBA there.
I wonder if he was insurance at the small forward, at the wing spot, in case, you know, they can't retain guys like Kent Bazemore. And if Thabo Sefolosha doesn't recover quickly enough from his injury.
We'll get to that when we get to Atlanta, but... You know, the Knicks fans are, you know, they're obviously what we expect, and they always bring us joy for their antics. But, you know, Porzingis, I already said, like, right now, just looking at the tape, he just reminds me of Bargnani. Is Bargnani terrible? No, but if you start off at that basement with room to improve, you know, the good thing about this is – you know, finally, Carmelo admitted it was a cash grab.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, it was like, oh, I want to, you know, I'm going to do it. And I was like, no, you did it for a cash grab. Yeah, I did it for a cash grab. Okay, good. You admitted it. We're happy.
Is there any possibility that Carmelo Anthony forces a trade in this summer?
No, because who's going to...
Who's going to want him?
Coming off an injury?
Oh, I could name about 16 teams that want Carmelo Anthony right
who
now.
Who won't lowball him. Who won't lowball the Knicks with, oh, we'll give you...
I could still name about 10 or 12 teams.
We'll give the house.
Yes. I mean, okay. They're trying to pull the Denver. They're trying to do what Denver did to them. If that's really what comes down to, you know, I wonder sometimes if Phil purposely tried to re-sign Carmelo on face value to make it look like he was trying to win, and then he's going to use him to trade for value later. But that would make have to make the Gotham fans have to wait another 2 years for someone to see the light there. And I don't think they have the patience.
They don't have the patience. Also, he's 31, so
mm-hmm.
you got 4 more years of contract where he could be 35 with a broken down Carmelo making, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of money even under the new cap, so.
I like Jerian Grant, and I think he's going to play immediately there, or maybe, or at worst, back up Jose Calderon. I definitely think we're going to see a lot of him. Very athletic. I think the fans at New York will like him because he's one to like pull off a couple of step back jumpers and dunks at the point guard position. More like I said in the preview for the draft, he reminds me of his dad Harvey and his uncle Horace. He's got that big wide body, but he plays the point guard position, but he's tough. You know, on cap they have Carmelo Anthony, Jose Calderon, and Klay Anthony Early. After that, it's all a wash. I mean, do you see any kind of big move being made in free agency? We've already heard rumors about David West. We've heard tons of rumors about Greg Monroe. What do you see here?
Oh yeah, they're gonna open up some max contracts. They're not, you know, the fan base and the I would assume the ownership can't be liking this. You know how bad your team is. And, you know, Dolan's an idiot, but, you know, any owner's going to be like, look, we can't have this. We can't just have us sitting in the basement and empty arenas. And because, you know, especially when New York starts getting empty seats, you know it's bad.
Yeah, because they go to everything, including the celebrities. When they start bailing and you see those empty seats in the front row from all the, you know, the corporate, representatives who don't want to go anymore for the PDLs, it's like, ugh, this is bad.
Yeah, it's you so know? You have to have some sort of quit. And, you know, the fact, like they said, they're gonna start offering, you know, tons of cash to
like
possibly.
Let's throw some names out there. LaMarcus, any possibility?
No, I think LaMarcus will go to Texas. Monroe is a distinct possibility. David West, I don't know what he'll give you.
Wesley Matthews.
You're more higher on him than I am.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a max guy or even close to max.
Rondo. We've heard that before.
No, I think Rondo is better suited off on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm. Max offer sheet to either Kawhi Leonard or Jerrymon Green.
They might make one to Kawhi, but I don't. Jerrymon Green's not a max player.
Mm-hmm. I did hear one interesting thing about Kawhi is that if the Spurs offer a 5-year guaranteed max, then there's no the best that any competing team can do to offer is that they would have to offer 3 guaranteed years up front, and a lot of teams wouldn't want to do that. So the best way to kind of get away from restricted free agency if you really, really want to keep a guy is that you just offer 5 years max right off the top, you know?
Well, and pretty much, and that's one of those you just sort of – you know, you want to stay here, we want to stay here. Like, you know, Anthony Davis.
We're gonna give you
every penny you possibly can. Okay, that's cool. That's what I want. That's all. Resign. Simple, done, done, and done.
So we're going to definitely see a couple of moves from the New York Knicks. We just don't know if they're small and then they wait in 2016 to make the big move.
See, you think they're going to be small. I say they're going to be big because I also said previous ones.
I don't see Phil diving in this year. I feel like he's going to wait another year with Kristaps, try to get Melo to kind of buy in, and then in 2016 they go after the LeBrons, the Kevin Durants, all those guys. I think that's when the big move is going to get made. And they'll just offer him the world, whoever that great player is. Say, hey, you can play with Carmelo Anthony, and y'all can run the New York City.
You could play with 32-year-old Carmelo.
Well, no, everybody hates Carmelo Anthony for some reason. Speaking of a team that everybody hates, the Philadelphia 76ers, Sam Hinkie, he did it again. He went with the best available talent, collecting assets wherever he can. He did it with New Orleans Noel. He did it with Michael Carter-Williams, who he eventually moved for – I can't even remember what they got. And then he took Joel Embiid and Dario Saric, even though neither of them were going to be playing that season. And now he took Jahlil Okafor after the Lakers passed on him in favor of D'Angelo Russell. First of all, what did you think? Was it just pure Sixers?
Well, you know, one, they had to take Okafor because he is the best player available and, why, you know, to sum the number one pick. So why wouldn't you do that? You know, if you're just, it's not his, you know, it just happens to be a center, you have centers, but whatever, you take the best available. It's the fact that, you know, Sixers fans, you know, everybody, I think you're sort of, they have to talk themselves into believing because they have nothing left. Mm-hmm. But because, you know, they drafted Noel, and then you hear reports they're not really sold on him, that he's their cornerstone guy. Embiid not playing. They tried desperately to get Saric over this year. He turned them down. He's like, no, I'm staying in Turkey.
Yeah, there were rumors that Noel was in trade deals, but Zach Lowe shot that down. He said that wasn't true.
Well, yeah, of course he's in trade deals.
Yeah, hey, involved. I think one was in particular involving the Celtics with Marcus Smart.
Yeah, so you know, what do you want for Noel? Well, what do you offer? Nothing. Okay, then he's pass.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's Philly. You know,
you can't have three towers.
You can't have three towers, but you have a trade asset mm-hmm. in one of those guys, whoever, you know, the weakest of the three is. But the fact that you had 27 picks and all you did was just draft big men.
Is Sam Hinkie smarter than we think, or is he the new David Kahn?
No, he's the new David Kahn, because if you look back at his record, you know, all he does, you know, he's very good with second round picks.
Yeah, he got Jeremy Grant out of there. He got KJ McDaniels out of there.
KJ McDaniels, Chase Budinger. Mm-hmm. Who's the one in Minnesota? Minnesota's Chase Budinger.
Chase Budinger does play in Minnesota.
Okay, then who's the Rockets one? Mavericks. They just lost.
You got me there. I'm not absolutely sure. I'm trying to remember who it was.
Chandler Parsons.
Oh, Parsons? Well, no, they didn't draft Parsons.
They didn't?
Oh, are you talking about Hinkie when he was an assistant?
Hinkie was Houston. Yeah, well, yeah, it was assistant. But, you know, you have to figure that this is – the things he's doing now are the same things he seemed to have been doing then, or him and his boss, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, you get second-round picks, and then, you know, you sell them high. But the fact that you have no star, you have no small forward, you have no –
No guards.
They got Troy Roten, I think.
Tony Roten. Is that? I mean, if that is your starting point guard, you're doomed. You're doomed. I mean, I just don't see that. You know, you have Isaiah Cannon, but if that's it, I mean, like I said, if Roten and Cannon is your front court, I mean, that's first of all, that's a midgety front court as it is. Now you're asking to, like, have those guys be starters again for another 82-game season. That's just – I know they didn't have – I know they couldn't get Russell. I know they wanted him if he was there, so they just took the best player. Jahlil Okafor will definitely play. I'm not even going to talk about free agency with the Sixers because they have so many of them that are in the market, and most of them are either retiring, like Andre Kirilenko, or they're probably just going to re-sign because they're not going to find any deals. Guys like Ish Smith and
Well, they're not going to re-sign anybody. The fact that they, you know, just straight up cut JaVale McGee and his $10 or $11 million just says, we're going to get garbage players for another year. We're going to wait till 2016. And
I think a perfect player is David Lee, because the Warriors are trying to get rid of him because they don't want to pay that luxury tax. So they want to get that $10 million off the board. But I think they're going to try to broker a first-round pick or maybe another first-round pick out of Golden State in order to make David Lee go there.
Yeah, so let's just, you know, Cincinnati will be the, I mean, Cincinnati. Well, the 76 will be the first team to start four power forwards, apparently.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to play big.
It's just, you know, you have to at some point, you know, you have to start feeling bad for their fan base, because this is year four of this, and there's no start in sight.
Yeah, and they really don't have a lot of help coming around soon. Like, their second-round picks, like you were talking about, he's gotten good value in the past, but a lot of these guys, they're not going to be available to help. They're not going to be available immediately. Guillermo Hernan Gomez, a center.
They traded him to the Knicks.
Yeah, Rashawn Holmes out of Bowling Green. He's at number 37. You might see him. J.P. Tokoto out of North Carolina. He will definitely play. Arturas Gudadis, number 47 pick, a center. Probably not going to see him. Luka Mitrovic, the last pick, Mr. Irrelevant. He's probably not going to be around this year either. So they're not going to have a lot of immediate help out of what they got in the second round outside of maybe Tokoto and Holmes.
Yeah, they got Tokoto because he'll be a, you know, he's a roster spot because they don't have anybody. But, you know, all they do is just draft power forwards and centers this year. Like, well, yes. You have tons. Take a flyer on a guard.
Take a guard, for Christ's sakes. I mean, it's like, even at number 35, I think they could have gotten a good guard. Instead, they took a borrowed big. You know, it's like, the freaking Sixers. They're crazy. We're going to move on from that, and we're going to talk about the Toronto Raptors. First of all, I had heard rumors all over the place right before the draft that Masai Ujiri, the GM for the Toronto Raptors, was looking to move everybody. And he made a move, but it was a very, very small one, where he got Norman Powell in exchange for was that the same deal that involved the Gervais Vasquez?
Gervais Vasquez and DeLon Wright.
Yeah. Gervais Vasquez was traded to the Milwaukee Bucks, so they're already down a backup point guard, and they drafted a new one in DeLon Wright, a tall point guard out of Utah.
You can play him.
Yeah, he can play both ways, so his defense is not going to – defensively, I think he's going to adapt a little faster than some of the other point guards. Offensively, I think he's still a little raw. And then there's Norman Powell, who's kind of like an oversized shooting guard. He can maybe get away with playing small forward in a small ball scenario, but I don't think he's going to be he's going to be doing much for Toronto immediately. The interesting part for them is there unrestricted free agents, because that's all they have this year. They have no restricted free agents. They have no team options. They have no player options. So the big ones here are Lou Williams and Amir Johnson. Everybody else is pretty much in the fold, which is why there's rumors everywhere that Ujiri's trying to move pieces around, because the only way he can get better is via trade.
Yeah, and, you know, he's going to lose both Amir and Amir is probably, you know, he played his time with him, but it's one of those, you know, maybe it's time that both players sort of move their own separate way.
I agree.
Lou Williams will get paid by somebody.
Yeah, and they also have a little bit of cap coming their way with Tyler Hansbrough leaving, Landry Fields leaving. And then, you know, if Amir Johnson's gone, that might give you about $9 million to try to get, you know, like a good small forward or a really good guard that can help out Kyle Lowry, who got completely exposed in the playoffs by John Wall and the Wizards. Who do you see here getting moved? I mean, I think Kyle Lowry will be back, even though it's begrudgingly. DeMar DeRozan has a $9 million player option after 2016, so I think he's definitely going to opt out after this year. Do you see him maybe getting moved?
He'll opt out and he'll get paid. You know, Toronto still likes him. Terrence Ross, I see him being the first one to get moved.
Okay. Patrick Patterson?
Patrick Patterson doesn't have much value, I don't think.
Maybe for like a playoff team trying to get that extra help, you know, at the forward spot. That's the only benefit there. But, you know, I mean, we're kind of got our hands up in the air here with the Toronto Raptors, because we don't really have a lot of answers yet, because there's really no excitement there in terms of free agency for them. All their moves are kind of dancing around in Masai's head.
Yeah, they're sort of in the purgatory area right now. So They can't make a big move unless they start moving big pieces, and
yes,
requires multiple teams. And
that's why that report came out that he might blow up the team, because it's the only way for them to start over.
You know, they're sort of too good to blow up the team. They're too high up. In order to blow up the team, I think it's a little too far-fetched to go that, especially with so many teams already blown up, especially in your own division.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of hard to blow up your team.
Well, maybe they could blow it up and still make the playoffs because of how bad the division is. Or it gives that opportunity to the Celtics. Like, let me give you a scenario. If the Raptors do this and they lose DeRozan, they trade Jonas Valanciunas or some other deal, it doesn't go well for them, and then the Raptors slide, guess who the team is that might be able to take the ascent there? That would be the Boston Celtics.
Well, the Celtics or the Knicks, because
of all the moves that they might potentially be able to do in 2 years, yeah.
But yeah, it's not a good situation for Toronto.
The whole division's in a bad situation. This is getting depressing. We're going to bounce back with some good teams now. We're talking about the Southeast Division, and that's going to be we're going to start off with the Atlanta Hawks, who got to the Eastern Conference Finals and got swept by the Cleveland Cavaliers because they just didn't have anybody better than LeBron James. They did a couple of moves. They traded out of the number 15 pick that they had, and then they moved them. They went to 19, and they got two first rounders out of that deal for the Wizards to move up, which was kind of interesting. And then they were able to move that number 19 pick with the Knicks, and they got Tim Hardaway Jr. out of the pick that became Jerian Grant. Did you like the idea that basically their draft pick was Tim Hardaway Jr.?
No, that's why you don't have your GM be your coach. I mean, it's just one of those, okay, you didn't have time to read all the scouting reports, but if that's the best you can do for the number 15th pick is Tim Hardaway Jr., you really haven't tried. And, you know, like you said, they got 2 second-round picks from him, but what are they really worth? Because they had 2 second-round picks this year. They got 2 European guys they're just going to stash away. Useless. Obviously, they're worried they're going to lose to Mari Carroll. So, we need somebody who could fill his shoes. Well, you didn't really try too hard, if that's the
best. Well, Hardaway Jr. is on a rookie deal, so he is not as much of a cap hit. So maybe that is helping them out with trying to fit in Millsap and Carroll, like you're saying.
Well, the thing of this is you had Bobby Portis, you had Sam Decker, and you had Kelly Oubre still on the board.
And they passed.
All three of those are better than Tim Hardaway Jr.
Carroll and Millsap are the most interesting ones. I think Millsap's going to get pretty much close to what his version of a max is, which I guess at his age would be around maybe like $16 or $17 million. I think he's definitely going to get that. Damari Carroll, more interesting. I think that he might get overpaid elsewhere. It depends on what Atlanta's number is and how willing they are to go past that number in order to keep him.
Carroll's gone. They're going to keep Millsap. I don't think they can keep both.
Payroll Antich might be gone, though.
He's gone, and he didn't really do much for them.
Yeah, he might get like $3 million, but that's still a number that Atlanta can't match. Because remember, they're tied up with Teague, they're tied up with Kyle Korver, and they're tied up with Al Horford on the last year of his deal coming up. So they're kind of in a position. They're not in purgatory like the team that we just mentioned, Toronto, because that team is not going far, and they're still stuck with their team. With Atlanta, they're really good. So being stuck with that team, quote-unquote, is not a bad idea.
So where could they go? The one thing their roster doesn't have is a stretch four, which is sort of amazing because all they do is just shoot threes.
They need a rebounding big in the worst.
Yeah, but
that's what they were second to last in rebounding.
It seems that thus far no team have gone for what they really do need, so why?
I think a guy like Tristan Thompson would be great, but they're not going to be able to pay him. They're going to have to go lowball on a deal, and they'd have to get somebody like an Ed Davis, maybe LaVoy Allen, someone like that.
Yeah, the old garbage, Kylo Quinn.
Kylo Quinn, he's a restricted free agent, so there's a possibility that if they give an offer to him, Orlando won't match it. Maybe Bismack Biyombo just for shot blocking. It's hard to say.
Maybe, but you know, again, if, you know, you don't, you can't really be too angry if you're the number one team in the East.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And their second round picks were Marcus Ericsson, a shooting guard out of Sweden, and Demetrius Agravanis, who I don't think we're going to be seeing for at least 2 or 3 years, if at all.
If ever. That's half of them. Half the people never show up. So, I don't know, whatever. That's Atlanta.
Atlanta's moving to try to kind of stay put in the summer. The Hornets already made moves here in Charlotte. So, and just kind of give me a feel of, like, what's going on with Charlotte and why they moved Lance Stephenson. They already moved Noah Vonleh, and Michael Jordan also moved Gerald Henderson, who was, like, a career guy in Charlotte.
Well, I don't want to say they're panicking right now, but they sort of hit the reset, quit the button really quick. And, you know, you sort of liked the Stephenson trade for Spencer Hawes. And
well, I liked it for LA Clippers. I'm not sure about Charlotte. Like, Spencer Hawes provides 3-point shooting, which
Spencer Hawes provides just another big body on the bench and 6 fouls, because he was horrible in LA. And you traded, you know, Matt Barnes went. Everybody went all over the place. And
yes, Luke Ridenour.
Luke Ridenour went to 17 teams in like an hour.
It was basically his contract because it's a team option. When you're a team option, you are going to get moved in the summertime if you're kind of a reserve guy, because it's the same thing as Brendan Haywood. Brendan Haywood, what happens is it's sort of like a write-off. You take this guy that you can trade because he has a team option for $10 million or $5 million, and you can make that even trade, and then you can immediately cut him. So you just freed yourself up $10 or $5 million.
Yeah, but, you know, the moves they made didn't, you know, there's nothing. Batum isn't, he's a starter. He's a solid starter. Is he sexy? No. Do you already have unsexy players in Kid Gilchrist? Yes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have your wings, you know, set. But you're higher on Frank the Tank than I am, but.
Well, he first of all, I don't know if he can play center in the NBA, even though he had a center. He played at the center position at Wisconsin. You know, he's got kind of the moves of a center, but he's such a good shooter, and he's got very good footwork off the dribble that I think that they can transition him into a stretch four. So I think he can be very valuable at 6'11 if they decide to play him at power forward, where we're in a league that, you know, as the story's been told with the Warriors and all and such, where the league is getting smaller at that position. So I think Frank Kaminsky might be who they picked at number 9, if just because we didn't mention it. I think Frank can be a value if, you know, at 6'11, if he can get away with playing the power forward position and being able to defend in that position.
You better hope so, because, you know, like we mentioned, they had a lot of offers, and they turned them all down for this guy. And if he struggles like all their other big men draft picks have.
Well, remember, I liked him. I liked them taking Doug McDermott last year, and they passed, and they didn't take him. And so now they finally took a stretch four, or a stretch five, if you will, Frank Kaminsky. Nicholas Batum, basically a borrowed player. He's in the last year of his deal. He had a really down year, and Portland dumped him because they're kind of in the mood of starting over. Did you think surrendering Vonleh was a good idea in exchange for Batum, who has no guarantees of staying there?
Well, I don't know if it was a good move or a bad move, but Vonleh, they sort of reached for him and sort of made a bad pick there, as everyone sort of predicted how raw he was and really did nothing. So if you need to, you know, you need to replace Stephenson. So, all right, we replace Stephenson with somebody who's equally as good, doesn't have the, you know, the fanfare and the headaches involved. So
they did get Jeremy Lamb, so he's going to have a UConn reunion with Kemba Walker. You think he can try to revive him there?
I could try, but I don't think there's much left to them.
They're unrestricted free agents. The main one is Mo Williams, along with Jason Maxiell. Restricted free agent Jeffrey Taylor, I think he's probably going to wind up staying. And then Biombo, I think they're going to turn down the qualifying offer and just let him walk.
Yeah, they're going to let him go. As there might be some team who will be like, you know, let's try to save this and we'll make you use the effect. But there's just too much you know, you're not going to go from his qualifying offer and be like, look, we'll give you $2 million a year to stay.
And then also they picked a small forward out of Argentina named Juan Volé at number 39, but I don't expect him to be coming around anytime soon. That was a draft and stash. Let's move on to the Miami Heat, who a lot of people felt like got the steal of the draft because at number 10, without having to move, they got Justice Winslow. Did you like it?
They got a player that fits them, and it's that 10th pick where people seem to slide to, and you get lucky.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like he'll learn behind Luol Deng for a year if he opts in, or do you think he'll start?
Nah, Deng will start, but he'll get minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, Bill Walker is pretty much, you know, gone.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, it's one of those things where that's just the way the draft falls, or you fall into just a dream spot.
They also got Josh Richardson, a long-arm shooting guard out of Tennessee. I watched him a little bit here in SEC land. He's decent, but defensively, I think that's really where his niche is. But at number 40, I mean, just take a flyer on him. The real intrigue here is Dwayne Wade's player option. What are you hearing?
They'll probably come to terms. It's just one of those, like, you know, look, I've been taking cuts for you for how many years?
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time to look, you know, pay me back. They're like, well, no, we don't want to now.
So you think the Lakers stuff was a mirage?
Kind of.
Okay.
But it is the NBA and it's business, so I wouldn't be totally surprised. They're just like, look, we're just going to go our separate ways and just dump them.
So they're probably going to go back in the fold here with Bosh, Wade, Hassan Whiteside, but what about Goran Dragic?
They've already offered him a max deal, I heard, or plan on doing it.
Okay. So they already have on retainer a max deal for Goran Dragic after already maxing out Chris Bosh and maybe having to re-sign Dwayne Wade to more than $15 million a year.
Yeah, but they'll go on the luxury tax for 1 year, then, you know, then everybody will fit happily next year.
You be with the new deal. Or the new salary cap.
The new salary cap, everyone will be
hit everybody underneath. So
you'll see a lot of owners having no problem paying 1 year of the salary.
Yeah,
I
don't know about Michael Beasley's team option at $1.2 million, but I definitely think they'll pick up James Ennis's. He actually played decently for them as a reserve. And then after that, that's pretty much it. I think they're also anticipating what's going to happen with Whiteside. They're going to challenge him to have another really good year. And if he does, then they might have to pay up and dip into the luxury tax after that. After that, really, the Heat are the same. We might just see the same Miami Heat. I think this is a team that's kind of ready for a blow up. And they're not, they're just, Pat Riley's just desperately holding on to the pieces he had in place when LeBron was still there. And I just think it's a little dangerous.
No, because you can't, again, you can't predict heart problems or, you know, lung problems or whatever, you know, Bosch's thing. Mm-hmm. The team's not bad, and that's, you know, obviously the difference between the last week saying, let's tank and get the 10th pick, or let's try to make it get the 16th pick. Mm-hmm. So basically they're going to do nothing in free agency because they have their team.
Okay, now we're going a little bit downward to the Orlando Magic, and that's going to be Scott Skiles, the new head coach there. Their draft, they had the number 5 pick. They stayed there, and I felt like they just took the best available player. And for them, the best available one was Mario Hezonja, who's a shooting guard out of Croatia at 6'8". Did you like the pick?
It was sort of strange. Mm-hmm. That they would go for him, because that pretty much just says, you know, we're sort of done with Tobias Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't really, you know, they wanted Porzingis, but
I don't agree with that. I think taking Hezonja makes me think that they're going to be going hard to keep Tobias Harris in the fold.
Really? I think it's just the opposite.
Why is that?
You know, with you know, because once you got Peyton coming up in 2 years, needs to get paid. Oladipo needs to get paid. So you got Hezonja, who just will slide into Harris's spot.
Well, if you look at the numbers here on the free agency, and that's the most important one, they have no player options, and they've already moved Luke Ridenour, who had a $2.75 million team option, and then they just turned down Ben Gordon's, who was at $4.5 million. They're probably going to let Kyle Quinn walk. So if you put the numbers together, that would get – if they wanted to really max it out with the luxury tax or go or rub against it, that would put Tobias Harris, if they wanted to re-sign him, at about $12 million. And I think Tobias will take that deal.
Yeah, not if someone's going to offer him 14. And also, what ownership is going to say, please max out my salary cap for a team that has no way of contending this year?
Because that owner, DeVos, he might think that Scott Skiles will get him over the hump. Now, I know they won't. Scott Skiles is the perfect type of coach that gets you just enough to tease you, but then he's kind of like what Mark Jackson was with Golden State. He's good enough to kind of get you forward, but he's not good enough to get you all the way. That's going to be the next guy, you know, but Skiles is the grinder here. I think he's going to be able to push them to either being just under 500 or maybe at 500 in the Eastern Conference next year.
See, I don't know. I don't see them making that high of a leap.
Like that five, Payton, Nikola Vucevic, Victor Oladipo, Tobias Harris, and then Aaron Gordon, who was their top pick in 2014. Like, you're not in Hezonja. You don't like that?
So if you have Aaron Gordon, you have Hezonja, and Tobias Harris, that's sort of, you get a little log jam there. I don't know. I think this, there's just too many teams with cap numbers and his name. He's tossed around a little too much for them to be.
Well, he's the hot name. And it happens every time in free agency where they kind of talk themselves into it. Because once guys like Aldridge start kind of going off the market, Marc Gasol, then all of a sudden the next one down is Tobias Harris. And they say, well, fuck it. Let's give him $13 or $14 million. And we'll take our chances.
I don't know. I just don't see them. I don't know. There's too many other names to see where to have Tobias sort of be the man.
So you're saying that the Magic should have an exit strategy to their rebuild right now? Kind of divert.
They should, because it's the way they're sort of going. In 2 years, you're going to have a real big problem they're going to face.
Mm-hmm.
Of what direction do we want to take? Which is sort of the way Utah was. Okay, we signed these guys. Oh, wait, now what do? We're sort of just mediocre now.
Yeah, well, Orlando is in a little bit of a similar situation as Utah in that they fell into a really good big, with Vucevic. Utah did theirs with Rudy Gobert, but they drafted him. Vucevic, they had to surrender Dwight Howard to get him. In that huge four-way deal they did back in 2012, a deal that at the end of the day, I think they won out on. Am I right?
Yeah.
They won that deal between Philly, the Nuggets, the Lakers, and the Magic. I think the Magic won that deal, unbelievably. Let's move on to the Washington Wizards, who I think things are looking up, but man, giving up two first-round picks in the future to go
second
up
round.
Or whatever. Giving up those two picks just to move up four spots to take Kelly Oubre out of Kansas. I don't get it.
I don't. Maybe it was just one of those he's fallen a lot. And Pierce obviously has left. He opted out, and there's all reports is he has no way of he's not returning. And,
well, his market is high too because he's. He played so well in the playoffs the past two – well, last year. He didn't play well with Brooklyn in the playoffs, but he played really, really well in the playoffs this past season against the Raptors and the Hawks. So he has high value despite his age.
Yeah, but it's just with Kelly Oubre, it's just I think they think trading to 15, they're sort of buying low on him. Mm-hmm. And if he gets his act together, he could have been like a – a top seven, top six pick.
Yeah, see is they'll move Kelly Oubre kind of into that guard spot, and they'll turn down, and they'll see what they can do with Garrett Temple. And if Garrett Temple wants to leave as the backup small forward or shooting guard, they'll let him go. And then they're just going to have to brace for impact and just try out Otto Porter Jr. as the starting small forward and see how it goes. He played really well in the playoffs. But how well will he do without the tutelage of Paul Pierce?
Well, hopefully he paid attention, and I think that's what they're going for is, mm-hmm. Let's give the keys to Otto Porter. He has 2 years to prove himself. If he can't prove himself, mm-hmm. we have Kelly Oubre who's going to take his place because he's been sitting.
Yes, because Kelly Oubre has enough wingspan to get away with playing small forward in the NBA. Yep. I think that may have been their goal there. They didn't want, a true shooter like an R.J. Hunter or a Devin Booker. They wanted – Booker was not available anyway at that point, but you know what I mean. Like, they want a long-arm type of shooter that they might be able to turn into a two-way player in the future, but I don't know. And also, he had his fashion tips. Ooh, yikes. Did you see that shoe full of, like, crystal?
Yeah, they really need to – they need to stop.
You didn't like the red suit with the jewelry?
Why did everyone have red suits this year? There were so many –
It was very maroon. Like, maroon was the end thing for the fashion on the draft. Usually in the NBA draft, you don't really laugh at too much of the fashion. It's kind of like toned down. Everybody kind of looks good. This one was a little odd. I felt like I was at the Vanity Fair cocktail party. You know, it was very strange. Everybody just decided to take a bunch of chances. You know, I could see E, you know, with Melissa Rivers and them just kind of going to town on some of these suits. But that just speaks to a whole different thing. They're unrestricted free agents in Washington. Drew Gooden, Rasul Butler, Glenn Rice Jr., whatever. I think the most important one here is Kevin Serafin, who isn't like a great big, but he's a valuable big. Do you think he might get overpaid?
I think he might. I think he's looking just for more playing time as opposed to money right now.
Yeah, Trevor Booker got overpaid last summer.
He did, so, you know, there's somebody out here who'll be like, oh, he's young enough, he might give us something. Mm-hmm. This team, obviously, they haven't sort of gone for the stretch four as they should have.
Yeah.
So, if they're not going to go for the stretch four, or, you know, maybe like an Amir Johnson to replace Serafin, a nice cheap body.
How about Josh Smith?
Josh Smith is another...
another name?
No, just another big guy. That's what, you know, what's he going to do? He provides depth in your system.
I think a perfect fit for them would have been Enes Kanter, but I think Kanter's already off the market.
Well, Kanter's already off the market and too expensive for them. They need cheap.
Like, I think Oklahoma City's in the same situation as Draymond Green with Enes. I think whatever offer he gets, they're just going to match it.
Well, they have to with the Harden thing just to save face.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen goes, so it's like you trade Harden for Luke Ridnour and pretty much that's it.
I've got one more for you, Thaddeus Young.
Thaddeus Young would be a great pick, and Thaddeus Young, or like I think I even put my mention like Corey Brewer before, but I think they might just be too out of their league.
Mm-hmm. Because they are pretty close to that cap because of Nene's contract, which has two more years. That's one of the worst contracts in the NBA. And then Marcin Gortat, who, even though he had a good year, I mean, you still tied up to him for three more seasons.
No, it's still – he had a good year. He's still productive. The contract is fine. Mm-hmm. You know, plus Bradley Beal's going to get some sort of money.
I think his money's coming up. Yeah, I think his money's coming up.
He's played himself out of the max. He's no longer a max player, but he'll still be up there.
Yeah. You think Ramon Sessions will be back, or you think they might move him?
I think he'll look for greener pastures.
Well, he's not an unrestricted free agent. They'd have to move him to get another backup guard.
Oh, I thought he was unrestricted.
No, he's got an option. His contract's coming up next year.
Oh, then he's perfectly suitable as a backup.
Yeah, did you like what you saw at Sessions when Wall broke his wrist?
Oh yeah, he was fine replacing.
He's been tarred and feathered at other places for being the backup point guard.
Yeah, but now he's older. But, you know, he replaced old man Andre Miller, so by default.
Okay, we're going to move on to the Central Division and talk about the Chicago Bulls. I think the more fascinating element with Chicago already happened with the firing of Tom Thibodeau and the hiring of Fred Hoiberg, because I feel like outside of one major free agency situation for them, they really aren't in a position to make really any moves. You know, in the draft, they made one pick, and that was Bobby Portis, a big man out of Arkansas. He's a good offensive player. He got a reputation in the workouts for being a really hard worker, and it kind of felt like he fell in the draft at number 22.
Oh, yeah, especially since, you know, there was reports that Suggs were going to take him at 16. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they don't really have much they can do because right now they're being held hostage by Butler. Jimmy Butler's...
That's what I was talking about, yeah.
You know, they can't do anything because, well, I might want to take a one-year deal, and I might want to do this. And
yeah, he's kind of in a will-he or won't-he situation where, you know, everybody's got different you know, scenarios with their contracts and their take. And what we weren't sure about, you and I and a lot of people in the NBA, is that what were the players going to do? Were they going to go en masse and kind of do the same thing where they took a flyer for a year and then they went for the big money in 2016? Or were they just going to take their money now? Like, and I think what we've seen already as we anticipate free agency is that it's been mixed results. You know, guys like Kevin Love, Brooke Lopez, you know, they're opting out. They want their money now. They want the big deal now, even if it doesn't mean that they're going to get more money later. Whereas somebody like Jimmy Butler, maybe Kawhi Leonard, some of these guys are just, they're going to go ahead and they're just going to wait their turn to try to, and maybe take a 3-year deal or maybe a 2-year deal with an option after the first year and then get their, the whole point of it is to just try to get themselves to the new cap and then find value at $25 million per year.
Well, here's the thing is, he, you know, bet on himself this year and won, and now you're going to double down? If he gets injured, you know, all the hard work he sort of went for might go out the window if the injuries...
And that's the thing, like, has he worked himself so hard in Chicago that by the time, and if he has to do it another year, will he have worked himself so many minutes that by the time he signs his deal that he doesn't have that much left? That's the fear. Now, he's only 23 years old. So, you know, he does have age on his side. You know, some of these other guys that we're talking about that are taking these chances, they, some of them are in their late 20s, so they're taking a big chance.
I don't think you were correct. Jimmy Butler is not 23.
How old is he? 25?
Yeah, he's 25 now.
He just turned 25. Okay.
Really, no, he's going to be 26 in September.
Okay, so well, he played 4 years at Marquette.
Yeah, I'm like, how could he be 23 if he was a senior? And I'm like, that doesn't add up. So, you know, this is, he obviously knows this is one time to get his big money, is one time to get his big contract. It's just, you know, are you going to sort of lose that popular? Are you going to lose that PR battle as a beloved player now? As opposed to, oh, he's just after the cash, he's just going for this and.
There's certainly going to be changes when it comes to free agency for them. Mike Dunleavy's gone. Aaron Brooks is gone. Nazi Muhammad is gone. And with Hoiberg there, he's definitely going to have his kind of picks, his little picks there of like, okay, I want this guy, I want this guy. So there's got to definitely be a couple of fresh faces there in Chicago. But they have so many guys on cap that they're not going to be able to move. Like, the only one I think potentially that they could be able to move is Joakim Noah. But is he worth moving?
I don't know, because it's they can't, the roster's built.
Mm-hmm.
And all right now.
But it's not ready made. It's not a ready made roster. It's built, but it's not ready made to win a championship.
You can, I don't know, it's debatable. Mm-hmm. It's debatable whether it is or isn't, because they're right, they're close enough. Because they, you know, they gave Cleveland the run, and you know.
It may be close enough to win the East. It's not close enough to win the championship.
Well, the West is going through changes now too, so it's not like, you know, we'll get into that in the next episode. But you know, the winds of change are coming, and you can't blow up this team when the team is already built. So I think right now you sort of have to hope it's that Mark Jackson. You know, he got us this far. Maybe Hoiberg can make a few little extra pieces, but yeah, I don't think you can tinker with the core of the roster right now.
They're probably going to go after a small forward who can shoot. Do you see somebody like a Chris Middleton, Gerald Green, maybe Mirza Teletovic? Do you see somebody like that?
They do need a 3-and-D guy.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say maybe it's sort of a Corey Brewer again.
Well, Brewer's out off the market. He opted in at in Houston.
He did opt in.
Yes.
My notes are so old, Ben. Apparently everybody decided to do all this when I was sleeping.
That was part. Zach Lowe reported recently that was part of the trade when Corey Brewer went to Houston that he would he promised to opt in.
Okay, then yeah, I can see Gerald Green. Chris Middleton is a little too expensive for them.
I think maybe. Danny Green is too expensive for them.
Maybe like a Lou Williams.
You know, I mean, Aaron Brooks is gone. He's basically Aaron Brooks.
Aaron Brooks and Kurt Heinrich is 72 years old now, so.
Mm-hmm.
Or he probably opted in too, so who knows? Why not? Everybody.
Well, Heinrich, I think he'd be dumb not to. I mean, if you want a job, he probably should opt in.
Oh yeah. But yeah, they do need quick shooters.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe your boy McDermott will do something this year as opposed to...
Well, you know, he's from Iowa, just like Hoiberg, so maybe they got that connection there. You know, he saw a lot of him. You know, remember, Doug's dad, Greg, coached at Iowa State and left before Hoiberg took over. So he saw a ton of Doug McDermott. Not saying that he's going to play him in the NBA just because of that. You know, this isn't the Rick Pitino's Boston Celtics where you just take every player you coached and try to will them. You know, that'd be kind of stupid. But, you know, McDermott had a really disappointing rookie year, and he has got to bounce back this year if he wants to prove he's worth anything.
Yeah, but, you know, again, not only much you can do until Jimmy Butler decides what he feels like doing.
Okay, and now we have the Cleveland Cavaliers. You know, things are just – they went to the NBA Finals. They lost in 6 games. LeBron James was absolutely incredible. It might be the best performance I've ever seen in a playoff series by any player, whether in a win or a loss. But things are getting really interesting now for Cleveland. LeBron looks like he might opt out just to see where they're at, but there's really no chance. It's one of those things where the agent is going to tell the teams, don't even consider talking to LeBron because he's not even taking offers. He's going to probably take another 1-year deal just to see what Cleveland does. You know, with Kevin Love opting out, Tristan Thompson is a restricted free agent. He's going to get big money. Iman Shumpert is a restricted free agent. J.R. Smith has a player option at $6 million. We don't know if he's going to use it. The only guarantees is that Timofey Mozgov, Kyrie Irving, and LeBron James are going to be back. After that, what happens?
Yeah, LeBron, he's obviously just opting out so other people can get, you know, you can free up money for other people. You're not helping your team by just sitting on the cap and just your cap hold.
I think the opposite. I think LeBron wants to guarantee he's the best. He's the highest paid player now because he never got that deal in Miami, and I think he was bitter about it. I think that's the reason he went to Cleveland.
Oh, yeah, he's bitter about it, but at the same time, if you're just sitting there, well, you can't make deals with Tristan, who he wants back. He wants Shumpert back. Mm-hmm. If you want Love back, well, how are you going to make these deals if you're sitting there with a $21 million hold sitting on your deal?
You think he's playing a game of chicken with Kevin Love, daring him to re-sign there for less?
No. No, whoever, pretty much anyone, everyone seems to have the idea like you'll have to take less if you want to play with him.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be just a foregone conclusion these days.
Mm-hmm. Also, remember Brendan Haywood. They're going to be trading that away, or they're just going to cut him. You know, trying to find a piece. The problem is, if they start making all these moves to try to keep the roster intact, if they trade Haywood's contract, they're going to eat. Dan Gilbert is going to eat a. There's a great piece from Zach Lowe about it on Grantland. They're going to be eating so much luxury tax this coming season. It's going to be the most expensive roster ever, even more than the Nets when they had Pierce and Garnett, if they make a big move with Haywood's contract and they re-sign Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson.
Yeah, but again, it's just for 1 year. And then
is that $50 million or plus in luxury tax, is that worth it?
If you win the championship, it is.
Was trading Wiggins for Kevin Love worth it?
It got him to the finals, mm-hmm. although he himself didn't get him there by him being on the court. He certainly helped that team get
his presence got them into that position.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you could agree there. Mike Miller's got a player option; he'll probably use it. Matthew Dellavedova, I'd be shocked if he was anywhere but Cleveland.
You never know. Somebody might pay him. Like, remember when...
That would be so bad.
Dallas had their run, and then all of a sudden, Minnesota gave J.J. Barea, like, a 4-year, $16 million deal out of nowhere.
I'm trying to remember that player that played for... that he was, like, a backup big for the Sonics, and he got a huge deal.
Oh, Jerome James?
Jerome James, and then there was Todd McCullough. You remember when Todd McCullough got a big deal with the Nets? He played well in the finals for like two games.
Look at Gary Neal been bouncing around since he, you know, he had.
He's an unrestricted free agent again.
But he had a couple good years. All of a sudden, you know, hey, we'll give you a couple million, more than you're worth. Okay.
Will they regret trading away that pick? I mean, I know why they traded away the pick, because they can't put on more salary. But do you think they'll regret trading away Tyus Jones?
No, because if they're confident in Dalidova, then, or whoever they have, you know, they also see the Osman we were high on.
Yeah, he's going to stay in Turkey a year, but you know, kind of like Omri Caspi or Nikola Mirotic, like just take a chance on him, and if a couple years he winds up good, sign him up to like maybe $3 million a year or something, and see what he can do.
You know, and then
Rakeem Christmas and Sir Dominic Pointer. They used to be Big East teams, you know, St. John's is still in the Big East, Syracuse isn't anymore. Christmas is a guy that helped himself in the combine. You know, that was one of the rare ones where nobody had him on the radar until he went to the combine and played well.
Yeah, and you know, he'll be probably there if they lose Tristan Thompson or they lose
tons of bigs. Just tons of bigs.
You know, they're not going to make a big deal. I think they're just going to try to re-sign who they have and just make another run at it. So why not? It worked once, and maybe with a new coach, although there was really no problem with the old coach, and everyone, you know, people are slowly realizing LeBron is just, you know, he's not the bestest of people anymore.
Oh, breaking news. LeBron is hard to get along with. That's a shock.
Yeah.
David, you know, it was yay or nay?
He should be back. He didn't do anything wrong. It's just a first year and you're learning.
I think LeBron likes having a whipping boy. I think LeBron likes having a coach that he can pawn off as an idiot and he has to correct all of his mistakes. The problem is when it gets nitty gritty and if the Cavs lose a game, then it turns into a blame game between Blatt and LeBron.
Well, the thing is, you know, people seem to, you know, LeBron went back to Cleveland and everyone forgot everything that happened beforehand. Mm. And now it's just like, well, you know, he acted like a shithead the entire playoffs to the coach. Like, well, you can't really do that.
Mm-hmm. There was a report out there that during the finals, there was a play that Blatt was drawing up. LeBron looked at him, and then Blatt just scratched the whole thing right in front of the reporter, you know, which is basically a way of saying, well, LeBron's running the show. But it's not like a big shock that players run the plays. You know, it's just a matter of how much do you respect the head coach. And it felt like in Miami, LeBron had to respect Spoelstra because he was an extension of what Pat Riley wanted. Whereas with Blatt, Blatt's kind of just being left hanging.
Exactly. And you can't really have a coach being left out to dry like that.
All right, let's move on to the Detroit Pistons, who I think they're going to be going through some changes pretty soon, but we're not sure how fierce the changes are. Let's start with their draft, though. They got Stanley Johnson at number 8. He had been rumored to go there for quite a while. I wouldn't call it a promise, but it did seem like they were kind of like clued in on him. They took Darren Hilliard III out of Villanova at number 38. I think Brad Woodling loves him because he's a wildcat. But Hilliard, good 3-point shooter. He was probably the most talented player that Villanova team had. And then they also got Ersan Ilyasova in that deal where they traded away Caron Butler. Greg Monroe is probably gone. Tayshaun Prince is probably gone. And then you got Reggie Jackson as a restricted free agent. Do you see Reggie Jackson coming back?
At first, I was going to say, yeah, but now I read reports. Somebody might, you know, there might be teams who are willing to overpay him.
Well, remember, even though the point guards are so good in the league, it's still a league where Darren Collison is a starting point guard. You know, he might wind up being a starter elsewhere.
You know, they might be priced out of the game, which is amazing. But, you know, the pick, Stanley Johnson, another player I wasn't really high on. Stanley Johnson doesn't really do anything.
Strong body, but he's not a great shooter. And defensively, I think he can get better. But he has the potential to be a two-way player. And the one thing I liked about it is that Stan went against type. Everyone thought he was going to go with a shooter, and he did in the second round. But I like the fact that they got like a really physical, athletic type of small forward to kind of complement Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. You know, so I like that combination there. I just think it's going to take a really long time for those two to come around offensively.
Well, as you can see, he's building his, you know, he's building the 3-point team again by getting the stretch four in Ilya Sova. And whatever happens with Monroe, if they don't have Monroe, they're probably just going to go out and get another. I wouldn't be surprised if they sign someone like Bargnani with, you know.
Does Andre Drummond get his max extension this year? Or do they wait another year?
They should offer it to him. Why not?
I mean, he's third in the league in rebounding the last 2 years. I mean, he's worth it.
Yeah.
Horrible free throw shooter, though.
Well, there's a lot of people you could say that about.
Mm-hmm. That's another one that I was thinking about when we talk about three-point shooting. Wes Matthews. They might be in the market to sign him.
They could. He's a, you know, he's who knows what, you know, Portland's doing, and he might be a player. You know, not too many teams might be too high coming off his injury and whatnot, but... Mm-hmm. Detroit could take a flyer on him. He fits the stylings.
What about Mo Williams as a backup point guard behind Brandon Jennings?
You got Reggie Jackson right now.
Yeah, but if Jackson walks.
Well, if Jackson walks, you can get a backup point guard is a backup point guard. I mean, you've seen Luke Ridnour be a backup point guard on 20 teams now.
You got to be careful with that, though, because there's so many injuries in the NBA with these guards because they're used so often in screen and rolls that they're always prone to getting hurt. So you need it's almost like the NFL. You're in a position in the NFL now where you need a good backup quarterback. In the NBA, you need a good backup point guard. If you have a bad backup point guard, you're in trouble.
If they lose Monroe, they need a backup big as a more higher priority than a backup point guard.
I don't know if they're going to shell out the money for a big, a really good.
Well, you got Spencer Dinwiddie?
Dinwiddie. He's a backup point guard.
There you go. You got him on the roster already.
Mm-hmm. I thought they overplayed him his rookie year. That just showed how weak they were after Jennings tore his Achilles. And also, when you tear, obviously with Kobe Bryant, when you tear your Achilles, you don't bounce back. You know, it's not like a broken foot or a broken hand, you know?
But, you know, again, they are on the upswing, so we should just be...
Is this a Tristan Thompson alert with Detroit?
They could. I don't know. He doesn't shoot threes.
No, Tristan Thompson has no offensive game.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm like, why would Van Gundy want him?
Mm-hmm. I don't think they're in a position to go after the big names like the Marcus Sauls and the DeAndre Jordans and the. Getting DeAndre Jordan makes no sense because you have Andre Drummond, who's basically DeAndre Jordan's clone. But you know what I'm talking about, like a rebounding big. I don't think that makes sense. I think they're getting away from Greg Monroe because they don't want that. I think they want what they're going after in the draft. They want athletic small forwards, and they want shooters, you know?
Yep, so, you know, that's Detroit.
Also, they got a little bit of cap cleared up because, like we said, Caron Butler's gone, and Aaron Gray retired because of a heart problem. So they did free up a little bit of money there. I think that might be enough to get at least one good player in free agency because they've been doing a lot of bunts for the last, like, 2 or 3 years ever since. I think they've been so scared to make a deal after the Villanueva Ben Gordon disaster, but I feel like they do have to make one sizable move if Stan wants to move forward. I can't see him standing pat with what they have and not being a winning team again. It's impossible. They got to make a move.
Maybe one more year. I don't see that happening next year.
That team might have to make one move. This team is probably on pace to make quite a few moves, and that's the Indiana Pacers. Do you feel like they've fallen far or that they're just kind of reshuffling the deck around Paul George?
Just reshuffling the deck. You know, you lost. They've lost their size, and that's pretty much why it makes, you know, it was a big question mark on draft night why they drafted Miles Turner.
Miles Turner, the big man out of Texas.
Who doesn't really do anything.
Well, he can shoot. and he's a good rebounder. So I guess they just wanted a center that had hustle. You know, Roy Hibbert didn't have hustle, you know, and he
didn't have
back
hustle,
anyway.
But, you know, if Hibbert doesn't come back, you know, he opted in, but that's just probably to facilitate a trade. And
David West is gone.
West is gone, so you need size. They have no, I don't even know who their backup, you know.
I don't know how they convinced David West to opt out of $12 million. It boggles my mind. There's no chance he's going to make that in the open market. None.
No, but it's one of those, you're not going to make $12 million this year, but maybe if somebody gives him like 3 years,
the
$20
Dallas
million.
Mavericks. Or
you know, if somebody gives him that extra year on the tail end, but that's a little more security as opposed to, all right, we'll get 12 this year. Now you're going to be playing all on minimum, you know, rookie low-level exemptions for the rest of your career.
They had one of the worst benches in the NBA the 2 years that they competed with Miami for the Eastern Conference Championship. They definitely improved their bench with the signings that they did that offseason, that Paul George broke his leg when they got guys like Rodney Stuckey, C.J. Watson, C.J. Miles, and they were able to really – and Donald Sloan also started to play really well. They barely missed the playoffs. Now they're in a position where they're unrestricted free agents. Stuckey's on the market. Watson is on the market. And Chris Copeland, who's going through the injuries because of the nightclub incident, and also Luis Scola. How important is it for them to keep Stuckey and Watson in tow?
They can let one of them go because, you know, you didn't mention their second round pick was Joseph Young from Oregon, who you love.
I think Joseph Young's got a lot of potential. I heard a comparison to him and Aaron Brooks, another former Oregon Duck. And I think that's a perfect comparison. He's just a really good shooter, and he's fearless on the offensive end. He's not scared of going after people. So he might come in right away. I'm not saying he's Lance Stevenson because he's not as big and strong as he is, but I feel like he's got that fearlessness to him.
So you have that shooter they've been missing. So, You know, they just need to get some size, and you need to get some big men in the offseason.
Larry Bird wants to change the game there. He doesn't want to slow it down anymore. He wants to be smaller and faster. So what do you see here with a big? You got to go for a small big.
Well, you go, okay, how about Brandon Wright or Jordan Hill?
Or Brandon Bass.
Or Brandon Bass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a couple options right there. Nice, some big guys, not.
And you do have the money because David West is gone.
Yeah, so you could get two of those. You get Bass and Brandon Wright. And
so when the reports say that the Pacers are blowing up the team, would you think that's not factual?
No, they're not. How will they blow up the team? The only way they can blow up the team is if you get rid of Paul George
or a reboot, if you will.
Yeah, but they're not really getting rid of anybody. Everybody knew they didn't want Hibbert. Hibbert and them are, you know, poised for a divorce anyways.
Yeah, I feel like they're doing what Atlanta did, where they Danny Ferry did, where he just took a couple of pieces that he really liked and said, okay, I'm going to hold on to these, and then the rest I'm just going to move around for the next year. And if it works out, it works out, and if it doesn't, it doesn't. And with Larry Bird, I feel like that's exactly what he's doing. I don't think he's doing what Portland's doing. I don't feel like he's doing what happened in Utah a couple of years ago where they just totally blew it up. It doesn't feel that way to me with Indiana.
Yeah, there's no, it's just overreaction.
Did you like those picks between Turner and Young? Did you feel like that was kind of two of the most valuable?
Young is a great pick. Turner was sort of like a little head scratcher, but now you can see if you're sort of worried about losing your big men, doesn't hurt to sort of let's try to develop one.
Well, he's a freshman and he's a baby face. Like, I mean, he's going to take a little while to get there. You know, it's going to take – he's not going to come in immediately and play, for sure. I don't see that. So that's the one thing that worries me about Turner. With Young, he can play right away. I think in the summer league, we'll see how good he is.
Yeah, we'll see.
Let's move on to the Milwaukee Bucks, who, like you always keep saying, are playing with house money. But they already made a deal where they dumped Ilyasova. I don't even know if they're going to keep Caron Butler on their cap. We'll see there. With their draft, though, and also they got Gravis Vasquez, you know, from the Raptors.
Yeah, you got Grievous Vasquez. You got they're going to re-sign Chris Middleton, for it sounds like.
Now, let me ask you this, because I have a prop bet on this with a friend. How much does Chris Middleton make? Does he get $15 million, which is his kind of slated max, or does he get less than that?
Less.
How much less?
4 years, 48.
12.
4.52, maybe. 12, 13.
Okay. Because my bet is that I don't think he's going to make 15.
He's not 15, but I think they'll overpay him, which, you know, as part of the development scale, you know, yeah, it's 10 seems fair, but 10, you know, I got to be talked to 12 or 13.
I know his advanced metrics wound up really good this year, but is he a buyer beware because of the fact that he doesn't really have that much resume?
No, but that's what you have to... You know, as you saw with DeMar DeRozan and Mike Connolly, sometimes you just have to pay the player and hope he develops the way as the way it has been running.
Yeah, but Connolly was a top pick. Like people knew, I think the smart people knew that Connolly would come around eventually. And you know, there was a couple other examples of guys like that wound up, you know, going in the first round, and it worked out for him. Middleton was a second rounder at best when he came into the NBA out of Texas A&M. Like, I'm not saying he was a bad player. It was just that nobody really knew what he was. It's like if Joseph Young all of a sudden, as a restricted free agent, averaged 14 points a game and 5 assists, you know?
Yeah, but, you know, again, if you're going to say Draymond Green is max money and, you know, DeAndre Jordan on both second-round picks, max money. Mm-hmm. You know, he falls below that line based upon that criteria alone.
O.J. Mayo has 1 year left on his deal. Do they dangle him?
I don't think anybody will take him, but you could try.
He kind of reinvented himself that 1 year under Jason Kidd, the point guard whisperer.
He has, and he'll give solid numbers, and he's solid depth now for the team, but I don't see somebody like, oh man, we totally need O.J. Mayo. He might be thrown in for as part of somebody else, but I don't see him really being the headliner of a, you know, of a trade.
Jared Dudley, does he use his player option at $4 million?
I don't know.
And he did play well in Milwaukee.
He did play well, but
no show in Los Angeles.
But I don't know. I could be talked either way because he's just one of those players where he just be like, I just want to play. I don't care. I don't know.
Yeah, I think he's kind of one of those guys who's more valuable as a leader than he is as a player. You remember how Brian Cox always wound up on a team because he was a great leader?
Yeah.
You know, kind of like that. Their draft picks, Rashad Vaughn out of UNLV, his season, his one and done season got cut short by a knee injury, but his workouts were really good, they said, because he's kind of like he's a 6'7" shooting guard. Did you like that pick?
It was just like a, you know, we mentioned in our draft preview, just UNLV kids are just, who knows what happens to them.
Mm-hmm.
They just fall in this black hole, like them and Texas and even to an extent UCLA now, where they just...
And they have a couple more coming up. I think there's the new one is Steven Zimmerman. And then Christian Wood not getting drafted surprised me greatly. That was the one that really shocked me, you know.
You know, just strange, like, what's going on at that program where you can't sort of turn all this talent into anything.
Bad coach.
Like you said, you know, you mentioned, you know, he'll be OJ Mayo's replacement, but in, you know, 1 year in the D League or 1 year on the bench learning isn't going to hurt.
Is this speaking again to the narrative of really tall players at each position? Is that kind of the master plan here?
It's, you could sort of say, A, that's a narrative. Another narrative, which I seems to be coming along, is the redshirt year in the NBA. Where we're going to draft these freshmen and then just have them literally sit for the year and do nothing.
I think one and done is dictating that because there's so few of these one and dones that like Andrew Wiggins is rare. Like, I mean, I know he went number one, but guys like that are really good right off the gate. I mean, that's not easy to do. And
not easy to do, but just to say, like, we're not going to even try to play him this year. This is essentially just a, you know, we're not drafting for this year. We're drafting for next year.
Mm-hmm. Which, do you see one player there in the East? Let's just stick it with the East. Do you see one of these rookies here that's going to really kind of spout out, even if it's a one and done?
I don't know.
Man, it's hard for me to say. I don't think Porzingis, we're going to see a lot of him. I think we're going to see Jerry and Grant immediately in New York.
Well, by default, you know, Okafor should obviously be... He's just going to get as many minutes as he wants, so by default, he should be the Eastern Conference Player of the Year.
Yeah, Justice Winslow in Miami, Frank Kaminsky in Charlotte, I think we'll see. And then Jahlil Okafor, but who knows, he might just get hurt.
Well, that's why it's surprising he didn't tear his ACL. How do they not pick him?
That was a running gag on Twitter. But that's going to be wrapping up our Eastern Conference draft recap and free agency preview. Please stick around because we still have the Western Conference to talk about. Hopefully y'all guys enjoy it. But this is going to be doing it on behalf of Ben Murray for this episode.